When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
A lot of Oregon fans watching, waiting around 5 o'clock on Saturday night as Ohio State hosted Tennessee in the 8-9 matchup, which, based on seeding, should have been the closest or one of the closest. It was about a 7-point spread at kickoff, and my goodness, did the Buckeyes come in and lay the absolute wood. It was not a game. Ohio State looked every bit the part that they did when they were dominating people early in the season. They look like one of the best teams, if not the best team, that we saw perform in the college football playoff weekend this first week, the first weekend, the first round of games, that is. Now they face Oregon. The Ducks already a 2.5-point underdog as the one seed. What do you see in this matchup, Will? I realize that a lot of people, just based on recency bias, are now suddenly very concerned for Oregon when you were starting to feel pretty good about the fact that you could beat them before, you could put up points on their defense. They had lost some people in some key positions on the field. Right. But now that we're seeing them again and the sports books, the line makers are saying, yeah, it's an uphill battle for you guys. What do you think about this matchup for the Ducks?
If I'm a Duck fan, I think that I'm going to have a better game plan than Tennessee had for stopping the passing attack of Ohio State. Ohio State really killed Tennessee by getting one-on-one matchups for Jeremiah Smith, and he just took advantage of him, right? Like, he has that big touchdown to start the game where he's in a one-on-one spot. Will Howard threw up a 50-50 ball, and he goes in, he makes a great play on the ball. That's why some people are saying that Smith is the best wide receiver, not his age, not in the Big Ten, but in the entire country. What they were doing was they're putting G. Scott kind of in the middle, and for those of you who haven't watched a ton of Ohio State, G. Scott is... he almost hits that Hunter Bryant role that UW used to have, where he's listed as a tight end, but he's somewhere in between. He's too big to be a receiver, but he's too small to be a true traditional tight end. Like, you're not really going to have him on the line of scrimmage asking him to take on a defensive end. If you are, that's fine. Expect to lose more of those battles than win, right? And what they were doing is they were using motions to get G. Scott on opposite sides so that he's going up the middle of the field. He's now matched up with a linebacker or with a safety. That's a better matchup for him. He's going to win those matchups. So then to compensate, what Tennessee was doing was they were sliding more of that zone help and keying more on G. Scott after he burned them for the first couple of catches. Well, that's going to leave Ibuka one-on-one. That's going to leave Smith one-on-one, and they just took advantage of that, right? I felt like Will Howard came out and basically had his perfect game. The offensive line did a better job. You ran for more yards in this game. You had 156 rushing yards on only 33 carries. So it felt like, hey, maybe the offensive line, with that time off, they took a step forward because they had been an issue all season long. And then I also think that, maybe myself included, we overvalued Tennessee's defense. Like, you look at what Tennessee was all year, and
they were supposed to be really stout against this Ohio State
team. And they leaned on that defense, especially their front seven. But the more and more you start thinking about it and you look at their schedule, who tested them in the passing game? Like, I think what we've seen this year is that the SEC, usually a conference where there's at least one elite offense that can beat teams on the edges, at least the last 5 to 8 years since Saban made the switch to more of a spread style offense, there wasn't that team this year, right? And even when Tennessee played the best offense that they did, which was Alabama, Milroe was pretty banged up through that game. Like, he missed a lot of throws short. He missed a lot of throws long, and he didn't use his legs as a weapon that he used when they played like LSU or when they played Georgia the first time. So there's a little bit of this Tennessee team. We thought they were a little bit higher defensively, myself included, than they were. And we were kind of downplaying this Ohio State team because the last time we saw them, they lost to a very average Michigan team. So I think now there's a lot of overcorrection and, oh, look at Ohio State. Look at how dominant they are. Look at all the five stars they have. The offensive line is finally figuring it out. Oh, Judkins looks a lot more healthy because he's got Henderson, and Henderson looks a lot more healthy because he has Judkins. Will Howard, he added into the plus one run game. Where I think that this game is going to be almost a carbon copy of the last time the two teams played. It's going to be a three-score game, or a three-point game, excuse me. It's going to come down to who has the ball last and who executes at the highest level on that drive. Last time they played, Ohio State had a penalty that was a penalty. It was a clear offensive PI, and Will Howard slid instead of fighting for the extra yards or just, frankly, throwing the ball away. And if he throws the ball away, it's fine.
And Dan Lanning found a loophole. Let's not forget that.
Which is no longer there anymore.
Nope.
So, to me, nothing has changed, really. I guess maybe I think the Ohio State team is a little bit stronger now because of how the offensive line played, but there's a reason why everyone's excited for this Rose Bowl. It's going to be the best game.
The text line coming in saying here, there are very few teams in the country with more raw individual talent than Oregon, but unfortunately, Ohio State is one of them, and on Saturday, you saw what they can look like when they're firing on all cylinders. 100% agree with that.
Right.
And a question here, if Jeremiah Smith was in the draft this year, does he go number one overall? Because I think he might.
No. No, he's a wide receiver. If you're spending that type of capital on a wide receiver,
would he be the number one receiver taken?
Yes. I would 100% be okay with him being the number one. And you know what? If he could be in the draft also, Ryan Williams would be the number two. So, like, you have these really talented wide receivers that are younger. They're only going to improve more and more and more, right? So I think there's a lot of excitement around this Ohio State team, especially with how you just thumped Tennessee. But if I'm Oregon, I got to feel happy about my D-line. My D-line is stronger than last time we played because Jordan Birch missed that game. He gets hurt on like a Wednesday of practice. Mm-hmm. By the way, you couldn't change your game plan by the time he got hurt. You just had to shuffle players around and hope that they were able to play up to that level. They did. And so you're going to go up against a worse Ohio State offensive line, even if they have improved over the bye week and getting the extra 9 to 10 days, whatever it is, to prepare for you. You still have to like your odds in, hey, our second defensive end dominated their first string left tackle. Now it's going to be the third guy, and it's our number one defensive end. I have to like that matchup. I have to like Derek Harmon and Caldwell against a second string center. Mm-hmm. That has to make me feel good. And then, again, Will Howard was basically perfect in this game. Take out the interception. He's 24 for 29, 311, and two touchdowns. Smith dominated and cooked that Tennessee secondary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he does that to Jabbar Muhammad. I don't think he does. Now, is he going to have catches? Is Ibuka going to have catches? Is Henderson going to have a big run? Yes, 100%. You're going to have to find a way to weather that storm.
You got to try to limit explosives, but they'll happen.
Expect the over in this game. It feels like when two talented teams of this level, elite teams, because I would say that both Ohio State and Oregon are elite.
Yeah.
Expect the over to hit in this game. Expect it to be a shootout. It's going to be fun. If you can limit the turnovers and you win the turnover battle as Oregon, I still like your chances. It's going to be a close game. You're going to have to find a way to execute in the red zone better than you did in the last game, and you executed at a fairly high level. So there's a reason why there's a lot of experts right now when they look at this game and they're saying, this is the national championship game. It's because I kind of think it is. And I think we were kind of undervaluing Ohio State. And I'll be the first one to put my hand up. I was among that list.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.